Good morning, everyone. If you're joining us for the first time online, we hope you feel welcome and that you've enjoyed every moment with us this far. Today, we're in week 4 of our series called Red Letter, where we're unpacking some of the statements that Jesus made while he was on the cross at Calvary. In the first week, we discovered that Jesus was forsaken on our behalf so that you and I would never have to be. In week 2, Duncan revealed to us one of the first statements Jesus made from the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." It is clear from that statement that forgiveness was at the very center of what Jesus wanted to accomplish that day. And then we were challenged to look into our hearts and discern whether there was any hidden sin that we needed to confess, and in so doing, take up Jesus' offer of forgiveness. Then last week, on Palm Sunday, Duncan revealed Jesus' humanity to us with his statement, "I am thirsty." Instead of trying to quench the longing of our hearts with the fake polluted waters that this world so easily offers. And it's our prayer and hope that if you haven't taken God up on his offer yet, that you would do so today. If you have done so, then today would merely confirm that you've made the best decision of your life. And if you're still wondering about this, if you're still unsure about Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, then maybe today will give you a little bit more reason to consider it. And so let's read God's word together. Please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we ask that you would reveal your truth to us today. Inspire us and change our hearts and draw us closer to you once again and help us discover a deeper meaning to the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is one of the 3 days in the Christian calendar where we gather with millions of people and where every single person knows exactly what we're going to talk about, the death of Jesus Christ. And for some, it seems quite strange that we would even call this Good Friday. How can it be good if we're going to talk about the death of a person? But it's our hope that what we reveal to you today will help you understand why we do this year in and year out, and why we call it Good Friday. Now we've reached the final moments with Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary. And in verse 30, it states that when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." According to the Greek word telestai, it means it is accomplished, it is fulfilled, or even it is paid in full. Here's a few examples of how it was used in the original biblical context. A priest would examine a lamb for the sacrifice, and he would say, "Telestai, the lamb is perfect, it has no blemish that may be used." When a servant returns to his master after completing a task, the servant will say, "Telestai," which means, "I have finished the work you have given to me." When a merchant declares your debt is paid in full, he would say, "Telestai, you owe nothing. Your debt is cleared. You are free to go." Jesus said, "Telestai," and it's amazing that this statement covers all of the above. Jesus was perfect, the perfect, unblemished lamb. Jesus also finished the task given to him by God, and he paid our debt in full. And so let's unpack these three statements. Jesus was the perfect, unblemished lamb. Jesus never sinned. And if we're struggling with this, just listen to some of these statements that declare it for us in God's word. In Hebrews 4, it states, we have a high priest who was tempted in every point like we are, yet without sin. In Romans 8, Paul states very carefully in verses 3 and 4 that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And you can't be a sin offering if you have sinned. And then Jesus challenges the Pharisees to accuse him, and they can't in John chapter 8, verse 46. And then in 1 Peter 2, we read, he committed no sin. There was no deceit in his mouth. 1 John 3, 5 states, but do you know that he appeared, Jesus, so that he might take away our sins, and in him was no sin. Even more relevant to us today on Good Friday is, do you remember the words of Pilate in Luke 23, where Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them, you brought me this man, Jesus. I have examined him in your presence, and I have found no basis for a charge against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. But even more importantly than all of these statements by humans about Jesus, God makes two massive statements about Jesus before his death in Matthew 3 and Matthew 17, where God says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. There's no way that God could make such a statement if Jesus had sinned in any way or form. And so Jesus is the unblemished lamb. He is perfect in every way. But not just that. Our second statement states that in Jesus' death, he fulfilled every single Old Testament prophecy.
Amos prophesied that darkness would befall the land, and it was fulfilled. Isaiah said Jesus would one day be rejected, and he was. Psalm said he would be betrayed. Isaiah also said he would be beaten. He was. Spit upon. He was. Wounded and bruised for our transgressions. He was. Psalm said he would be mocked, and he was. Zechariah said he'd be forsaken by his friends, and he was. Isaiah said he would pray for his persecutors, and he did. And he would be crucified by thieves, and he was. Psalm said they would cast lots for his clothing, and they did. It also said none of his bones would be broken, and they weren't. It also said he would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he did. It was prophesied that he would be pierced, and he was. It was also prophesied that they would give him vinegar to drink, and he said, I am thirsty. And they did. It's finished. All those prophecies had been finished.
You see, not only did Jesus fulfill all these Old Testament prophecies, but in his death, he also fully redeemed us. He paid the price for our redemption in full. You see, up to this point in history, humans found it extremely hard to live this life they were given as God intended it to be. As we read through the Old Testament, we discover so many stories of sins. As we read through all of the murder, the rape, the theft, the adultery, and the list goes on in terms of sins committed against one another. But even more importantly, we discover so many stories of people sinning against the author of life. As they create their own gods and idols, they even use God's name in vain, and they completely neglect to set aside a day for rest and worship. And because the Creator knew exactly where the aforementioned lifestyles were going, eternal death, And that was and will never be God's plan for his creation. And so God instituted a means of reconciliation between the creation and the Creator, where the sins could be atoned for, paid for, using a very complicated sacrificial system, because God desires eternal intimacy with his creations. You see, sin closes the front door. Sin locks down the relationship between God and people. And so only through the sacrifice of an animal, a substitute, a payment of debt, and in faith of God's promise, could people be forgiven and come before him. But as we are fully aware of, people sin all the time. And in the sacrificial system, many sacrifices were made. And this was just a never-ending cycle where people would sin against God and one another. They would find whatever is required to pay for that sin. And then they would go and try again. Sin, pay, try again. Sin, pay, try again. And this carried on for hundreds, thousands of years until this Good Friday, where Jesus paid the final and ultimate sacrifice for sin. With his death, the complex sacrificial system ended because Jesus paid the required price for full reconciliation between the Creator and the created, as he took all the sin of the whole world upon himself. Friends, this is the good news. In this moment on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus uttered the words, "It is finished," all the sins ever committed in the past, in the present, and in the future was placed upon Jesus Christ. And instead of you and I being justly punished for our sins with eternal death and separation from God, instead of that, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that in Jesus Christ we might be put right with God through faith. Now for a moment, just let that sink in. Think of the worst thing that you have ever done to yourself or to someone else. Do you remember the pain of your words? Do you remember the pain that your actions caused? Do you remember that feeling of guilt and shame when you became fully aware of what you've said or done and the hurt that it caused? Or someone else said or did something to you that really hurt. Even to this day, right now, you're still struggling with that hurt and pain. And you know that it caused distance or complete separation between you and that person. Today, this is the good news that you need to hear. Christ has taken that sin upon himself. He died so that you and I are able to stand before God right now and say, "Lord, forgive me. I am so sorry for what I have said, for what I have done to you, to my fellow human being." Maybe even these words of David in Psalm 51 resonate with you today. "Have mercy on me, O God. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done evil in your sight. So cleanse me, God, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and restore unto me the joy of your salvation." because I've carried this guilt and shame for such a long time, and I cannot carry that weight any longer. If that's you today, hear these words of Christ. You're forgiven. Now go and sin no more. You're forgiven because he took that sin, he took that guilt, that shame upon himself, and then he died so that you and I right now are free to enter into an eternal relationship with God, because the sin that once held you back from doing so has been taken away from you eternally. So now go and sin no more. And you might be sitting here right now. You're extremely grateful for God's grace and mercy that he has shown to you. But you're still struggling with that guilt and shame. And when we really think about it, you would say that the guilt and shame has possibly caused your relationship with God to grow stale and distant. And it seems like whenever you talk to him that your prayers are simply hitting the ceiling. When you open your Bible, you find reading it very, very difficult. Like something is holding you back from learning something new about God and growing closer to him. Oh friends, if that's you today, here's the good news. At Calvary that day, Jesus took all your sin, all your guilt, all your shame. And he died for it all. And so right now, if you are feeling guilty about something, and you know that you've confessed that sin to God, you've asked him to forgive you, right now, in the name of Jesus, tell that liar to go back into its own lockdown. Because Jesus Christ has died for all of your sins, and he has taken all of your guilt and all of your shame with him to the grave. And because of that, and your faith in what he has done, you and I can now stand before the Lord God Almighty, knowing that in Jesus we have been declared righteous. In Jesus we are clean. In Jesus there's no more guilt, no more shame. Right now and into all eternity. And that's the good news that we can celebrate today. But that's not all that Jesus did on that day. On that day, Jesus didn't just die for our sin and our shame. He didn't just take our guilt. He died for all that day. Yes, Jesus even died for that person that really hurt you. And I know that for some of us, this is a really difficult thing to get our hearts and head around. And to be honest, this is where the good news becomes very, very difficult for most of us. Because we're all okay with the idea that God will forgive all our sin. We are okay with the idea that he will take our guilt and our shame away, and he left it in the grave. But for most of us, when we are truly honest with ourselves, we prefer God's wrath to sort out a few people here and there. And I'm sure that in some cases, those thoughts and requests are fully justified. But friends, it's impossible to look at the cross of Jesus Christ and not notice the two criminals on either side and his response to them, especially the one that confessed and asked for forgiveness as well. Jesus didn't exclude the convicted criminal right next to him. No, he even died for him and assured him of his place in heaven. Friends, Jesus died for the sins of the entire world, and that includes that person that really hurt you. And in no way does this merely discard your pain, but rather it allows us to come to the same cross where all of our sin, All of our shame and our guilt was placed. And in Christ, we can place that hurt and pain at the foot of the same cross. For Jesus said that we should come to him, especially if we are weary and heavy laden. So maybe today you are weary and heavy laden by hurt and pain. And so today, bring that hurt and pain to the foot of the cross. Come right now and know this, that in that moment, you can be brutally honest with God about your hurt and about your pain. You can share with him exactly how you're feeling right now. And then allow him to pick up that hurt. Pick up that pain. Take it out of your hands and allow him to place it upon himself as well. And just like the people did that day, right now, watch him take that from you. Place it upon himself. Watch him take that hurt and pain and breathe out that last breath. Watch him die and take it to the grave. So that right now, you and I can experience a glimpse of eternal life, where not only has your sins been forgiven, not only has your guilt and shame been taken away completely, but your pain and your hurt as well. Today in Christ, may you experience wholeness again. May that be the good news for you today. Because Jesus has fulfilled every scripture, every requirement of the law. He alone was worthy to take all of our sin, all of our shame upon himself, all of our pain and our hurt, and die so that you and I could have life and experience life right now. Today, if you've become aware of any sin in your life that needs to be confessed, why don't you bring it to the Lord in prayer right now? If you've become aware of any guilt or shame that's still holding you back, preventing you from having an incredible relationship with God and others, why don't you bring that to the Lord in prayer right now? And then lastly, if you are aware of anything, any pain or any hurt that has caused a breakdown in your relationship with God, it's prevented you from entering into that relationship with God today, bring that to the Lord in prayer. Come today and say, yes, Lord, here is my sin, here is my shame, here is my guilt, my pain and my hurt. Here is that addiction, that idol, that doubt. Here it is, Lord. I lay it all at your feet. And so please, Lord, put it all to death for me today and allow me to experience life with you again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are eternally grateful for today. For Good Friday, where your Son, Jesus Christ, lived his life. He lived it to the full. He lived a sinless life so that he would be worthy to give up his life for us. And we are so grateful for that. Today we also find ourselves grateful, not just for the relationship that we can have with you, but that we are able to bring anything to your feet that's causing a hindrance in our relationship. And so God, here we are. We give our lives to you. We give all of our sin, our guilt, our shame, our pain and our hurts. We give it all to you right now. Take it, Lord. And give us life and life in abundance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.